At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. Bob Costas will join us at high noon, so that's coming up in about an hour. So make sure you tune in for that. That's going to be a fun interview coming up at noon. But speaking of fun interviews, we always enjoy our chats with our next guest. Ryan McGee is on the line with us. He can talk college football, NASCAR. He can do it all. And now he joins us. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good. Bob Costas, man. It just put me on hold. I might listen into that later on.
You just love saying it. You feel big time if you have something to do with Bob Costas, at least for a day.
Yeah, well, and I you know, baseball is doing such a great job right now. I'm really curious to hear what Bob has to say, because they're really crushing it, aren't they, in the quarantine?
Oh boy. Man. Could they use some classes right now? There's going to be a real. I said this earlier, Ryan. There's going to be a ripple effect, no matter what. Even if they come to an agreement, it's whatever they agree upon. If that happens, there's still going to be a ripple effect. People are completely turned off right now how this has been handled, or should I say, botched.
Yeah, well, and it's just it's a lack of self awareness of how important you actually are. You know, I would even argue that. You know, certainly for those of us who don't live in the 30-whatever major league cities, you know, you're in a AAA city, I'm in a AAA city, I love the Sounds, I love the Charlotte Knights. I think it hurts America more that minor league baseball is not playing than major league baseball, because that's an experience through your family and whatnot. But anyway, whatever, it just drives me absolutely crazy. Literally everyone is killing themselves to try to get back as soon as possible. And those guys are getting over $1 billion.
Yeah, it's I guess we, rather than just get really depressed with this interview, I guess let's move on. Although what I'm about to bring up, I'm not sure how much of a pick me up it is, but it is interesting to see, Ryan, just the relationship right now with the student athlete / the football player and the head coaches, because I would argue that. I don't know if I've ever seen this in my lifetime. We've been saying that the coaches have always held all the cards and had all the power, and that just wasn't right. And you know what? There's been a shift in what happened to Mike Norvell at Florida State and Dabo Swinney. You think about how big his star is in Clemson and how bright it is, but yet what happened 3 years ago with an assistant has been brought to light. And now the Mike Gundy. Players are not afraid to speak out against their head coaches, and I'm not sure I think I've seen that in my lifetime. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I totally agree, and I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, and it's you know, I laugh at some of the people that are kind of like, these players need to shut up and do what they've always done. But those are the same people that complain that, you know, they should receive some, you know, compensation for their likeness, or, you know, why don't I have my NCAA football video game and all that stuff. So it's, you know, the kids are either going to have the power or they aren't. And so it's just, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, particularly over the last week. But one of the great things about it is it does lend a voice. And it also, there are no more secrets. So the days of a coach just kind of saying whatever they want to say and not being checked on that, you know, whether it's an NCAA violation or whether it's trying to cover up a crime in the team or whether it's saying you said something to the team – when you didn't actually say it, you just, those days are gone. You have to be 100% transparent. And I'm proud of these kids for, you know, checking these guys on this and for speaking up. And listen, they are moved emotionally and spiritually and, you know, whatever you want to come up with of what all has happened in the United States. And you think about that generation, man. And I'm talking about, I mean, I have a 15-year-old daughter. And what that generation has had to deal with, whether it's school shootings or pandemics or, you know, the ugliness of politics in America, just the stress level that a teenager in 2020 has had to have in the background of their lives their whole life, you know, it's forced them to be more mature than we were, you know, when I was that age. And so I think that's part of it too, which is, you know, these kids are smart, and they're going to stand up for themselves, and they're going to stand up for what they believe in. And so, yeah, I give them credit, man. Old Chubba up at Oklahoma State, he wasn't having any of it. And as a result, a conversation took place.
Yep.
And what we all keep talking about with everything that's happening, you know, particularly over the last few weeks in the United States, is, you know, the positive spin on it, and what we should try to take away from all this is to have the conversation. And so now what's happening is these coaches are having to have the conversation with the players that they should have had in the first place. And so in some cases they said they had it and they hadn't. And so, yeah, the conversation's taking place, and I'm all for it, man.
I have no doubt your 15-year-old daughter's IQ is three times what mine was when I was 15. Hell, it may be three times what it is today, but you're right about that. I mean, I feel like kids today, while they've been saddled with a lot more than I think simpler times when we were growing up, but man, they have so much knowledge and they're so much further advanced than I think we were. I mean, I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, well, it's just I equate it to sports all the time, which is, you know, you can't be a caveman and play football now. You just can't. You know, the days of just being bigger and stronger, faster than the other guy, and just using that to win games, you know, it helps. But the reality is that there's no way you can process the modern football playbook on either side of the football without being super smart and without being dedicated to doing work all the time and also trying to balance, oh, by the way, getting your college degree. And so you can't operate day-to-day as an athlete at the highest level in college sports and be a dummy. You just can't. And I think that's changed dramatically in the last 10 years, particularly when I was in school a really long time ago. I just think that these kids are smart, and they know how to do their homework, and they don't know any way to do it other than just work really hard. And as a result, you know, the coach also can't, you know, coach like a caveman anymore. He has to know what everyone's doing all the time. And, oh, by the way, if I'm paying you $7 million a year, you should probably do that without any complaint.
Yeah. How do you think Norvell and Dabo and now Gundy have handled their situations to this point?
Well, I mean, I think that, again, it's forced them to have the conversation. And the question is, how genuine is it? And when you talk to the people in those athletic departments, they will let you know pretty quick, you know, how genuine it is. I'm not sure what Mike Gundy's doing right now. You know, the guy that I have spent time with and liked very much, I don't know who this guy is now. Even on the red carpet at the College Football Awards, you know, he was there with a couple of his athletes and interviewing him live on television. I was like, I don't even know where this guy's going anymore. And so I'm not sure what happens with these guys, but I mean, it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago about, you know, kind of losing touch with, you know, not being self-aware, not understanding who you are, what you're doing, the impact you have, and sometimes not understanding that, you know, the what's going to happen if you say certain things and the blowback that's going to come with that. And so I think a lot of these guys, they've just become larger than life and a little untouchable, and so they think they can do or say whatever they want, and the reality is that that's not the case. So that's a long answer to your question, but I think certain guys have certainly handled this better than others, and I think that certain guys have been a lot more genuine about this than the others.
Talking to Ryan McGee from ESPN, always enjoy our conversations with him. Ryan, you tweeted about this. It's interesting just where you fall, I think, in your age demographic, I guess close to us. Your historical perspective of the Maguire-Sosa thing. We were kicking this around yesterday. Where to place this in our mind? You know, we went through it. We had all these exhilarating memories. We know now what we know now. So where do you place it on? I had shelved it for a long time. Now I'm finding myself trying to come to grips with this.
You know what's funny is having conversations about it with, like, I mean, like kids my daughter's age, or, you know, kids who didn't see them play. And, you know, what I think about is that summer, and I'm dating myself, my wife and I remember clear as a bell, sitting there in July and August in the summer of 98, stuffing invitations to our wedding and watching McGuire and Sosa hit home runs. And it was just, my wife, who could care less about any of this when it comes to sports, was completely captivated. And, you know, and I was a big Lance Armstrong guy. And so the Lance documentary that ran, you know, just prior to this McGuire-Sosa 30 for 30, you know, it's kind of the last time I was emotionally attached to any of these things. And so I think our generation, it brought up a lot of great memories slash bad memories because we were emotionally attached to it. And I think that's why we're like, well, screw those guys. Don't put them in the Hall of Fame. I was a huge Roger Clemens guy. I mean, I'm standing in my office right now, and I have a ticket stub. I saw Roger Clemens strike out 20 in Detroit one night. And I loved him. I was a Red Sox fan. But I was burned, and I was burned on Lance, and I was burned on McGuire and Sosa. And so I think if you're our age and you loved that summer so much, we're just burned, man. We're burned emotionally, and we're mad because of what they did to the game. But then when I talk to, you know, guys that play at my daughter's high school, great high school baseball players, they're like, what's your problem, dude? Put them in the Hall of Fame. Because they're just not emotionally attached to it. And so I think that's what's kind of come rushing back to me watching this thing.
Yeah, and with that in mind, do you think someday, as the voters get younger and more removed from that time and they didn't see it, it get burned like you and I did, that those guys might end up in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, and I graduated high school in Greenville, South Carolina, which was the hometown of Shoeless Joe Jackson. And I was living there when Field of Dreams came out. And that's when the whole thing started about, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, Shoeless Joe, put him in the Hall of Fame. And everybody tried to frame it up like, you know, well, you know, he didn't really throw the series like the other Black Sox did and all this other stuff. And so as the generate, but then the older people who were in Greenville, they were still so angry at him because he had embarrassed baseball and he had embarrassed Greenville, South Carolina, and he had embarrassed, you know, everybody. And so the people who remembered it were like, forget it. You know, don't put him in the Hall of Fame. But then those of us who never saw him play and, you know, we just watched him walk out of the cornfield with Kevin Costner, we're like, oh, man, that's sweet. Put him in the Hall of Fame. And so, I think as the generations go by, you know, those guys will get in. The only difference is Pete Rose. I think Pete Rose is never going to die. He's going to be 250 years old and still acting like an idiot. So I'll say keep him out.
We're talking to Ryan McGee of ESPN, Marty McGee, of course, the show. NASCAR making the announcement, the All-Star Race moving to Bristol this year. It's going to be July 15th. They're going to let 30,000 fans into that bull ring. I'm excited about that, to have, you know, more than 5,000 fans at a race since the return. But also, moving the All-Star Race to Bristol, I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and honestly, too, so we were supposed to have received, back in the middle of April, just a few weeks into the quarantine, we were supposed to have received the new 2021 NASCAR schedule. And you guys know me. I've been screaming for 20 years to shorten races, to run midweek night races in the summertime, shorten the season, you know, shorten the calendar, keep the same number of races but finish the season sooner. I've been screaming to shorten everything forever. And now we're kind of seeing them do that stuff, and they're trying things like no qualifying in practice and Wednesday night races and, you know, 500-kilometer races as opposed to 500-mile races, and now the All-Star Race at Bristol. We're seeing them try a lot of things that there was a lot of discussion about doing it, but you didn't know if they were going to pull the trigger on it. And so, I'm all for it, man. I think it's great. And, you can absolutely socially distance if there's 30,000 fans at Bristol, because Bristol seats about 140. So there's plenty of room to spread everybody out. And so it will, it's going to be great. And it looks like Talladega this weekend. They're going to have 5,000 fans, and it's going to look like there's four people there because it is literally, without exaggeration, the world's longest grandstand along the front stretch. So
yeah.
I'm all about bringing fans back, but I'm not ready for them to just completely open the floodgates yet. But that night, the All-Star Race at Bristol is something people have been talking about forever. And now finally, as every TV commercial tells us, these uncertain times, this is the time to try all this stuff.
How cool is it to see? We talked to former Titan safety, former NFL safety Bernard Pollard yesterday. He has become a fan of NASCAR, been watching, you know, with everything that's going on. Alvin Kamara was a guest this weekend. at Homestead, we knew that with them coming back, they were going to bring in new fans. But I think this is cool to see some of the crossover with these NFL players, and also the work that Bubba Wallace has done for Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and you mentioned Marty McGee. You know, we had Brad Daugherty on with us for almost an hour on Saturday morning. And Brad, as you guys know, he grew up in the mountains, North Carolina, Black Mountain. He was a race fan, has been his whole life, co-owns JTG Daugherty. You know, I've actually watched Brad, 6'11", or whatever he is. He has a late model car that he drives. I have no idea how to get him in and out of that thing. But he talked about his whole life having to kind of apologize or qualify his NASCAR fandom with his NBA teammates and other people that he just like, come on to the racetrack, and they didn't want to go there because of that flag. And so you've already seen almost overnight, I was talking to Bubba Wallace about this, about the fact that all of these people are reaching out and going, man, I want to go to a race now, because they feel like they're comfortable there. They feel like they're actually welcome there. And so I think it's fantastic, and I think we're going to see more and more of that going forward. There's absolutely going to be protests. There's absolutely going to be some people who go out of their way to make it known that they don't like the fact that that flag isn't allowed anymore. But that's going to be a bump in the road over the long haul. And the reality is, a lot more people are welcoming. They haven't closed the door to anyone. What they've done is they've opened the door to a lot of people who didn't even consider it before last Wednesday.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from it, and how cool that it is. And, you know, one thing, too, to move into Nashville, you know, they made the announcement that the Super Speedway is going to get a race next year. So I've had people hit me up that I've talked about NASCAR for years, and they laugh at me. And now all of a sudden, hey, so are we going to the race? You going to get us tickets?
Yeah.
Like, let's go check it out. I know the fairgrounds continues to be a focus. That deal is not dead by any means. In fact, I think this is going to help that along. I know that the drivers, that's where NASCAR wants to be, but I also think this is cool to get the sport back into the market with the deal that was worked out with Dover Motorsports to move one of their races to the Nashville Super Speedway. Going to be cool to have them here next year.
That's going to be awesome. And listen, you're talking to a proud son of Rockingham, North Carolina. And what, you know, I every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every Easter, every Mother's Day, I got to hear about, well, why don't we have a race anymore? And I'm like, dude, if you had bought a ticket and gone to the racetrack, you know, that's a vote. A ticket is a vote. And if you want to keep racing there, then you do it. And so my advice to anyone who wants to see racing at the fairgrounds is buy a ticket to the Super Speedway and go. Because if you prove that the market is fired up between the awards, between the Champions Week and the Super Speedway, if everybody throws their support behind that thing, then, you know, I think they will absolutely come into the fairgrounds for a weeknight awesome bull ring short track race, and I will be there. In fact, I don't know if you guys know this, my wife used to live in Nashville.
Yeah.
And when we were dating long distance, this is how romantic I am. Back in the RPM Tonight days on ESPN2, I had to come to Nashville for a truck series race, and I got my wife a pit pass, and I remember looking at her about lap 150 and her sitting on a cooler, an RC Cola cooler in Stacy Compton's pits. And I knew she must have loved me because she sat there for about 2.5 hours at the fairgrounds, and no smartphones in. You're just staring at the you're just staring at the RC Cola cooler. But that's how romantic I am. She married me anyway.
That's good. Hey, that racing brings everybody together, Ryan. I love
that.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, it does now, and I think that's the beauty of it. I'm with you guys. I'm hearing from people that I know. I could not have going to the racetrack is the coolest experience. You guys know this. Doesn't matter what track it is, race cars are cool. They're always going to be cool. And now there's no excuse for any of your friends to not want to go.
We're gonna wrap up with this, Ryan, because you've always been so nice to this show. We got clearance a couple of weeks ago when the announcement was made. We had the president and CEO of Dover Motor Speedway on the show. Of course, they own the Nashville Super Speedway. And I came clean at the end of the interview and said, just so you know, about 12 years ago, we were doing a radio show out there at the track. And we were an afternoon drive then. And when we got off the air, there was nobody at the track. And I mean nobody. We were the last people to leave. It was basically shut the door behind you. And I looked at Willie and our engineer, and I said, hey, we're never going to get this opportunity again. Let's take our cars out on the track. And we did laps around the track. And I came clean and said, I just want you to know I've been carrying this burden for 12 years. And I said, I hope you will forgive us. And he said, not only are you forgiven, we'll do it again whenever we come back for this June race next year. So you're invited, Ryan.
Dennis McGlynn. Yeah, if it was Dennis McGlynn, then I know for a fact, as president of the Dover track forever, I know for a fact that he was well known to maybe wander down after work and blow off some steam around that concrete oval in his street car. So, yeah, he feels you on that deal.
Well, we have been given clearance that we can do it again. And, you know, like I said, because you've been nice to the show, if you're coming for the race, we want you to join us.
Yeah, well, as long as I can drive. I like you guys, but I don't know. I don't have any idea what your driving record is. So
Yeah. You have your own vehicle.
Maybe I'll run a couple laps, and then once I feel comfortable, I'll let y'all drive. I'll get in the back seat.
Sounds good. Hey, always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, y'all too. Thanks, man.
All right, that is Ryan McGee. Always enjoy our chats with him. We will come back. More on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday. Good stuff from Ryan McGee, as always. Fast start to the show again. Zach Curtis in the first hour. Good conversation with him on baseball. And then Ryan McGee, which you can basically throw anything at to start this hour. And Bob Costas will start the next hour. And then we'll head down to Atlanta to start the final hour of the program and find out what's going on in the baseball world with Chris Domino. And certainly he has got close ties to that, and we'll see what his latest thoughts are in baseball. It's not a good look. I'll tell you what, everybody, I feel like everybody's feeling the same today of just kind of shaking their head. Probably a lot of people aren't even mad anymore. They're kind of past the mad stage. They just may be shaking their head and rolling their eyes when you say Major League Baseball. Because I think people are over it. Scott Van Pelt, I mean, it's not that he's not emotional. He did a radio show, so it's not like he never showed emotion. But he's pretty, you know, he's pretty calm, collected guy, right? I mean, you don't really see him as not a screamer or anything. And not that he screamed, but last night I was watching SportsCenter after that, and he had on, Jeff Passan, that's right. And he basically ended the interview by saying, I couldn't remember who it was. It was Jeff Passan. And he's like, you know, give me some good news. Give me some, you know. And Jeff Passan's like, you know, I'd like to tell you that everything's going to be okay. Because you can tell Jeff Passan, as we've talked about it, he seems like he's been over it for weeks.
Sure.
And Scott Van Pelt just turns around in his chair because he's basically got his back to the camera when Jeff Passan has given his answer, and he just turns completely around, wheels around, and just starts, like, basically screaming at the camera to baseball.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. Freaking figure it out. And so when you're getting stuff, you know, like Jeff Passan and Scott Van Pelt and others screaming at you, you know, I don't, if a Stephen A. Smith is doing it, I don't look at it the same way. Or Skip Bayless, but, you know, I mean, guys that typically don't do that, you know, you take notice. And he was screaming at the camera last night about baseball.
Yeah, and I thought what Jeff
Passan. I'm
glad
Passan, he did. I'm glad he did.
Me too.
I mean, it needs to be said. It's so ridiculous. It'd be one thing if, you know, this were a regular negotiation. It'd be frustrating enough, right? And that's coming at the end of the 2021 season, right? This isn't even over a collective bargaining agreement. They have a collective bargaining agreement. It's just trying to figure out what to do this year, like we're trying to do, like all of us are trying to do, right? Business leaders, everything. We're trying to figure out how to move forward during this difficult time.
I'm laughing because you just reminded me we have to go through this again. Why?
Yes.
Why do we have to do this again? You're right. And, you know, I thought what Jeff Passan said too during that interview, guys, because I saw that as well. And I don't know if he was quoting Metallica or what, but he goes, you know, sometimes to live, you have to die. And I think that that's where they're at now. That maybe the Phoenix, he used the Phoenix Rising, said that, you know, maybe that's what's going to happen. And they come out of this and they figure it out. But I just don't know.
It was interesting that what he said. Basically, he's saying, you know, it's like, has anybody ever been in a really, really, really heated, you know, argument with somebody, and you raise your voices or you're screaming at each other, and once both sides have said their piece, you know, in a heated discussion or argument, you kind of like exhale, you know, and then it's like,
yeah,
okay. You know, maybe that's what it felt like he was saying. Like, okay, now that everybody's, you know, been screaming at each other, now maybe this is a good thing. You've blown up. You've said your piece. And now maybe that's what you needed to do. Everybody got everything off their chest. And now you can get some forward progress.
We've never done that before.
No. I don't. I mean, that's what people – I've heard people do that. I don't know anything about it. But
right.
I've heard people do that.
But it's true, though. Sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's just things are so pent up. And it's like we've talked about this, and I asked Zach Curtis about it. There's such a disconnect and mistrust between both sides for the history of baseball. I mean, and these owners and these players may not have even been through some of those things, but there's just this distrust there that they have to go through this and this rigmarole and this screaming at each other and like, no, you're bad. No, you're bad. And now it's like, okay, you want to talk now? You want to figure this out? That's the hope. But I'm really at the point where I have to see it to believe it. That's just where I'm at.
It's like you've called each other names, you know, for the last 15 minutes. And now it's like, okay, now let's have our discussion. Now we got all that off our chest. We've said our piece. Now where are we? And maybe that's what maybe he's right. I don't know. It doesn't feel that way, but take note. Yeah, I was like, that's interesting. That's a different approach. I get that. And I'm not discounting it. I'm not saying that can't happen, but I don't think I really had thought about it until Paston said it, but who knows? He may be right. I don't currently right now this today. I don't feel that way though.
I have always been hopeful in the toughest times. I am losing hope on this. I really am. There's way too many lawyers and way too many voices of people trying to win an argument, win a negotiation, and there is no partnership. There's no leadership coming forward to say, you know what, we got to put all this aside. There's just none of it. Zero. No perspective on anything that's going on in the country. So they're going to get what they deserve.
Yep. You just have statements and when and where. Tell me when and where. I'm ready.
Whatever.
Right. That was my reaction.
Whatever.
They showed those tweets on SportsCenter.
That's the thing. Like, they're trying to trick each other. They're trying to like, ooh, when and where. Like I dare you to put the – go ahead and tell us, and then we'll file the grievance, and then you'll file a grievance, and we'll have an arbitrator, and then we're going to – you know, it's just all of these legal people, you know, getting all in, you know, let's go deeper into this. Oh, wow, this is – you want to play that way? Well, I can do this. You know, I'm going to throw out this really profound statement, as if everybody's going to jump on one side or the other in the court of public opinion. It's ridiculous.
I thought Tony Clark not being a part of that last night showed a sign of weakness on his part.
Oh, it was a joke.
You guys agree or disagree?
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. That you
I was like, that's your leader? You're the face of the PA? And you don't show up for this? You release a statement? I thought that was incredibly weak. I thought it showed weakness from the leader of one of the sides.
Or at least have, you know, a player. You know, but especially with this situation, to not have the leader of the players and Tony Clark, it was weak. It just it came off poorly, and it was something that was noticed. And we're not giving Rob Manfred much credit or any credit at all, but I'll at least give him that for fulfilling a commitment, because I'm sure that's the last thing he wanted to do. But he fulfilled a commitment, and he knew what he was going to be asked about and what was going to come up. But he faced it. He did it. Whether he answered questions correctly or not, that's for you to decide. But at least he was on camera doing the interview. And, you know, Tony Clark and the players, they just said, nah, here's a statement. And, you know, their beef is not with ESPN. Their beef is not with the fans. Their beef is with baseball. And so it just came off as a very, very bad look for them to not show up.
Well, have you ever once heard any of the leaders, whether it be Tony Clark or Rob Manfred, or any of the other lawyers who have issued statements all over the place and legalese and all these letters to the other one that gets leaked out, not one of them has said, you know, we see your side on these points. You know, we see your side on these points. Here's where we're coming from. Let's have a discussion about it. No, it's all line in the sand. We need to have 100% of our prorated salaries, and the owner's saying, this is the money we think we can pay the players, and that's it. And that's the end of the discussion. It's not a discussion. It's basically, here it is, deal with it. And now we're sitting here where we are. Basically. Nobody's willing to give it all.
No.
Meet a little bit. It's really, I've seen some proposals that people have written down that it seemed very sensible, at least would be something that could get discussions going. There's so many ways you could do it, you know, if you really offered compromise. But every proposal has been a rearrangement of the same thing. And nobody has changed their viewpoint at all.
I guess if I'm going to say Tony Clark comes off as a weak leader, I probably should say the same thing about the commissioner, because
Absolutely.
Whenever you have both sides, and those are the two heads, right? Those are the two figureheads. And you see this back and forth this badly, I guess both should be considered extremely weak as figureheads of those two sides, because they both come off looking really, really bad. And it's like, I don't even know if they have any, it doesn't feel like they're in control, right? It just feels like it's two people. I keep using the pushing sheets of paper back and forth across the table, even though they're not doing that, but that's what it feels like. It's like, no, you take it. No, you take it. Well, this is the best I'm doing. No, this is the best we're doing. No, you take ours. No, you take it's just, it just, to me, they both come off looking really, really bad.
Well, what do we always admire after a game that we watch? A coach, if it's a tough loss, we admire the coach. And not all of them do it, but we certainly admire the coach that says, boy, that was a tough loss. That one's on me. I should have done a better job. We weren't mm-hmm. prepared. We were flat. We always like that. And the same thing, Chase, you're down in that locker room after every Predator game. We love the players that will be accountable after they lose. If something doesn't go their way, where they take ownership of it. And they say, you know what, I didn't do as well as I wanted to. It was a tough play. I gave it my best shot. I came up short, but I got to do better. You haven't heard one single thing from Rob Manfred or Tony Clark. It's 100% blame the other side. It's all them. We're in the right. We know we're in the right. We haven't done anything wrong. We shouldn't have to give an inch. It's all the other side. That can't be true, right? Both sides feel like they're 100% right on what they're doing. That's not the world.
Yep.
That's just not the world. Especially now, right? Especially with all that's going on right now, it's a total train wreck.
Yeah, because if they had figured this out and they were saying, hey, it's not safe for us to start back yet. We have a plan, but it's just like basketball and hockey. It's probably going to be August before we get going again. Everybody would be sitting there going, okay, all right, at least you have a plan. You have figured this out, and you have gotten a plan together. But that's not the case. And so you can't sit there and, you know, to your point, Willie, yeah, I mean, if somebody takes ownership and they say, listen, we messed up tonight, this is on us, we weren't ready, I'll sit there and I'll go, okay, then go back and do better next time. And then you move on. It's when you know that you haven't done your best and then you've just gone through the motions, and I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what you can really say this is at this point.
This would have been super easy to agree on, right? Knowing what we know right now. The players
sure.
want the pro they want a day's work for a day's pay, right? You've heard Zach Curtis, you've heard all the players we've had on, you know, Kevin Jarvis. They are tight on that. The union has been tight, and that's part of the issue, right? They're not coming off of that. So at the very least, and as I said before, the owners are very tight-knit on this is what we feel like we can pay the players. So at the very least, they should have been able to arrive at a number of games that they could accomplish that, and we think that number is 48 to 54, somewhere in there, right? So that agreement should have been in place for months. right? Here's the minimum. Here's where we agree, right? You want your prorated salaries? Okay, we think we can pay you the prorated salaries for about 50 games. So that should be the minimum that you could have agreed on a long time ago. That's common ground. And then you go from there to try to have a discussion. How can we figure out a way to get more games in there? I mean, you guys, we all feel like a legit season has got to be as many games as we can get in. How do we get there? But none of that.
Nope, they just want to blame each other.
I thought the commissioner was going to impose the schedule in 55 games, and here we go, or 48 games, whatever it is. Now we can't even get to that.
Nope.
We'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Back here at Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarlane, Willie Donick here with you all in our home studios. Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Inc. studios powered by RumbleOn.com. So Darren brought this up with Ryan McGee earlier about Chuba Hubbard and just players speaking out and having more of a voice against their head coach. And this is just kind of the change that we're seeing in the landscape, not only in college sports, but in our society. And it's led to a conversation. And that's, I think, what everybody is hoping for, that when there are things like this, that you get that conversation. So Darren, I know that, you know, we heard what Ryan McGee's answer was, but I think that if there is truly a change, then the events of yesterday will end up being a positive, even though it was a negative at the time.
Well, you guys have heard me say I feel like we've turned a corner, and I feel strongly about it. And as more of these things continue to happen, I feel that indeed we are turning a corner. Things are different. Things are moving in a different direction. And I know for some it's not fast enough, but this is yet again another prime example. And it's pretty interesting. I don't think in my lifetime – I thought Ryan McGee laid it out pretty well. Well, social media has certainly helped that. It has given them a platform to express themselves. But student-athletes now have voices. They do. And they've had voices in the past. But because we've turned a corner, because there's a different landscape right now, they feel compelled to come out and do what's right, what they feel is the right thing to do. And maybe in the past they didn't feel I don't know what the right word is, safe, or, you know, that they could do that and without extreme consequences, where now you're seeing not just a player or players, you're seeing some of the star players come out and just call out their head coach. And I just can't remember a time when we saw that. And you are seeing the head coaches back down and backpedal quickly. And that tells me yet again we have turned a corner, and I think that's all for the better. And, you know, we've talked about big part of this is communication. A big part of this is discussing it. A big part of this is dialogue, and that is happening. And Chuba Hubbard, who is the fine running back at Oklahoma State, his head coach was shown wearing, an OAN shirt, One America News T-shirt on Facebook. And, you know, he lashed out at his coach. And we know the situation that happened with Mike Norvell at Florida State, where his star defensive lineman came out and just called him out on what Mike Norvell said in an interview about how they had, you know, discussions as a team. And he said, no, we haven't. There's been basically a right. group text. I mean, that was it. And Chuba Hubbard said on Twitter, I will not stand for this. Now, this was a picture, I believe, of Mike Gundy. Was it with his two boys? Is that who was in the picture with him? I think that's right.
Yes. Yeah. And, yes, it was the two boys, and they were like fishing.
Yeah, it looked like at a boat dock. And Mike Gundy had this shirt on, and he said, I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change. And, you know, once again, like I said, I mean, how many examples do we have of players coming out and saying that about their head coach? I just can't think of any. And you're going to see Mike Gundy, you know, as you've already seen. And these coaches are not doing the typical thing before of, you know, call them in or have their coaches call them in and, you know, they're going to get scolded behind the scenes. No, 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 no. That is not it at all. You've seen them dabble, even Dabo Swinney. Just think about how incredible. You would think at Clemson he can do nothing wrong, and yet he still had to answer to an incident 3 years ago, and he's out there posting videos everywhere and doing interviews everywhere and trying to explain himself, and players coming out who were there and a part of it saying it's unacceptable, and it was unacceptable then. So these are all good things, and I'll be curious to see if these coaches have figured this out, that they don't, that they better make sure, you know, they're doing things the right way. They do not have the ability to do whatever they felt like doing, like they did maybe in the past. And there's no, you know, there's no penalty. There's no repercussions of it. And I think it's one thing for, I don't know, a member of the media or somebody else to call them out, but now to have their own players calling them out, it's pretty interesting to see.
I can only hope that this is not something that starts and ends in one day with, you know, a couple of tweets. I hope there's continued dialogue, right? That there's substance to it, there's layers to it, and there's real, you know, attempt to grow and learn. You know, if you're Mike Gundy, learn where your players are coming from, right? And really don't just do it because your best running back threatened not to play. Right, do it because you deeply do want to understand that this isn't just your running back, right? This is a person, and this is where he's coming from. He represents probably a lot of players who feel the same way he does, right? That's really where there's value in it, and I hope that's the direction it's going.
I want to hear not only head coaches, but it's just this is everybody. I mean, nobody's perfect. We've all made mistakes. And I know that I'm one of those that if I make a mistake, I'll admit it. I'll go, you know what? I probably could have done that differently, and that's on me. And I think you're seeing that now. And as Ryan pointed out earlier and as we've pointed out, I mean, this is all leading to a discussion. It's leading to a conversation. And it's almost like there was fear before. I think you were pointing that out, Darren, that, you know, were the players just scared to call out the head coach or to say or question the head coach, maybe is the best way to put it. And now that's not the case. And I think that that's a good thing. And it's going to, in the long run, help the relationship between player and coach, if I'm being completely honest, that there can be more of that dialogue. And some coaches have always been that way. I mean, there's some that you know, you can sit down and have a conversation with on some things. But I think that this is ultimately going to be a very, very good thing. And it's going to help the growth of coaches in this country and the players as a whole.
Chuba Hubbard.
The coaches still have to have their role, right? You can't.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that.
Your role as the leader, as the person that runs practice, that all that stuff has to stay in place, right? But I just hope that the coaches realize what a huge role they play beyond just the X's and O's, your offensive system, your recruiting, all of the things that are essential to the program, but they're not the only things that are essential, right?
Nobody's going to take your Coach Willie title away from you. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay, good.
Chuba Hubbard tweeted out, "I just want to say thank you to everyone for the support. I will start by saying this. I was never wrong for saying what I said. I'm a man, and I realized I should have went to him as a man face-to-face rather than on Twitter. I disagree. I'll come back to that. That was my extra input. That's my opinion, but I had to hold him accountable either way. I am glad things happened the way they did because things are being changed as we speak." I agree with that. "If anyone truly knows me, they know I'm a very passionate person. I care about my family, friends, teammates, and people I don't even know. I spoke out because I'm emotionally drained and I'm tired of seeing stuff happening without results or consequences. I realize I have a platform to generate change, and I'm trying my best to use it accordingly." He goes on to say, I am a young black man that wants change. I want change that will bring a better experience for my black brothers and sisters at Oklahoma State. It's that simple. Over these next few months, I have left it at Oklahoma State. I will be working every day to bring change to this organization and to the world. I will be supported by my teammates along with people within the organization. To everyone else, trust me when I say that good will come from this. And that is from Chuba Hubbard, the fine running back at Oklahoma State. And no, I don't believe that he should have gone to him man-to-man, face-to-face. Because I think, quite honestly, a lot of these scandals that we've seen in college, it's because people were going to the right people, and guess what? It wasn't being handled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how a lot of these messes, i.e. see Michigan State. People were saying the right things. People were speaking out, and it was being covered up. And we could go on down the line of people saying things, and yet nothing was done. And so I will respectfully disagree with him. I think he did the right thing.
Well, is it possible to thread that needle, Darren? And, you know, you at first try to go to your coach, have a discussion. Hey, coach, tell me about that T-shirt. Where is that coming from? I really don't get that. And if it doesn't go anywhere from there, then you go public and utilize your voice that way. I don't know. I do think that there was a little bit of that, but this young man, I have to say, he has shown a lot of maturity through this, because I do think it looks good that he is saying, yeah, you know, maybe I could have done a little bit. At least he's trying to think. He's trying to take it from the other perspective, but he's been very effective overall in how he's handled himself, I think. But do you guys see that? Yeah. I mean, if you have a real beef with me, Darren, I would hope that you know, we've known each other a long time. We've had conversations, right? Willie, what the heck are you thinking? You know, you're coming to me. You're not going on Twitter and saying, what the heck is Willie doing? Did you see that that he did the other night? He's nuts. Like, I would hope you would come to me first, and if I ignored you, if I blew you off, then when if you went public, then I would say, well, he did try to come to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think any of us, I mean, we can disagree on, you know, much, much, much small things on a much smaller scale.
Sure.
But I mean, if, you know, I don't know if I would have done something really, really offensive to you. I don't know. Or if you would have done something really offensive to me, I don't know if it would have been handled. I probably, when you've been together as long as we have, they have it. They don't have that long-term relationship and knowing each other through and through. It's a head coach and it's a football player, right? And so, I feel like they have the platform right now. He has the platform and he has the backing of people, and that's why coaches, I guess the point is, coaches are being forced to listen. Maybe some would have been more than willing no matter what. I don't believe all of them would. But I think now in the climate that we are in, they are being forced to listen. They are being forced to have a conversation. And they can't blow it off or just say something and make it go away. Yeah. So therefore, that's why I'm totally okay with this young man putting it out on social media. And by the way, I thought he was well thought out. He sounds like the future is really bright for him.
All right, yeah, I agree. I thought it was well done.
We will come back and start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase with Bob Costas. That is next.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.